booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Frank is on vacation, so I'll be here solo throughout the rest of the week, but he'll be back next week. Looking forward to seeing him. I feel like I haven't seen him, Christian, in like, months, basically.
I mean, it's pretty much been that. That's the case.
Two ships passing in the night. Well, you're there, so that's good. And Sid is up with sports at 15 and 45. Deb, as you heard, has the headlines. And in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, we've got some great deals for summer and fall and kind of late fall travel. I'm going to tell you which website to log on to. These are some really, really excellent deals. You won't be able to travel over to Europe with these deals, but you will be able to travel internationally to places like, well, Puerto Rico, Mexico, so on and so forth. So I'll give you all that information coming up at 5:40. But let's start with some news. Deb mentioned it very briefly at the top of the hour. The Democratic primary race has devolved into total chaos after the city's Board of Elections admitted last night that it screwed up the count. This is kind of a big screw up. They apparently added 135,000 pre-election test ballots into the mix, which should have been cleared from the computer before they announced the results. So the board has apologized, but it is obviously leaving the entire race in confusion. So here's what basically happened. On Tuesday, the City Board of Elections released new numbers that suggested that Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams' lead in the Democratic primary had narrowed in the first set of tabulated ranked choice voting results. And the ranked choice thing has created a lot of confusion as well, even though it seems pretty simple to me. I know Frank loves it. But this was the first time that the New York City mayoral race dealt with the ranked choice voting. Former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia, in this preliminary count, closed the gap, basically giving Adams a 2-point lead. But he was kind of like, huh, I don't know about this. Within hours of the new figures coming out online, the board backtracked. The Adams campaign and some others apparently saw what was going on here. They thought this doesn't seem right. And the board of elections acknowledged a discrepancy in its counting process. It removed the data from the website. And last night, very late at night, they put out another statement, this time revealing sort of exactly what happened here. So they say that the count will be rerun once the slate is clear. Okay, moving on now to the situation down in Florida. We want to give you some new audio that has come out. Christian, if you can get ready for these tracks. We're continuing with some disturbing audio, really. This is moments after a 13-story building, as you know, collapsed in the Surfside neighborhood of Miami Beach, which is just north of South Beach, you know, kind of where everybody goes on vacation. What you're about to hear are the first responders reacting in shock, just stunned, to see what they're actually dealing with on the scene.
No elevators. This is nothing. I mean, it almost resembles the Trade Center. Some people evacuating said it sounded like they heard a bomb.
Yeah, the male voice you heard is from an Engine 76 firefighter, one of the first people on the scene. He is talking to a dispatcher at Search and Rescue as the operations begin. Now, another firefighter makes some comments you can hear, and we're going to play that right now. This is track two.
All right, we got active people trapped on the rubble on the north east side of the building. I'm with 76. I'm going to need additional units.
My team, we're bringing in one more patient, one more red. It's going to be
Let's put air rescue on standby.
We're going to need some backboards. We have two reds over here. We need to locate.
I need two units of backboards to come to the south side.
I mean, I know this is a little bit difficult to hear audio-wise. Well, it's just difficult to hear, period. But obviously, you're listening to different clips that were patched together by a local television station, you know, to just try to give you an idea of what it was like in the early throes of this tragedy. On the bright side, if you can find one, officials say what they're hearing here is a great example of what should happen on a scene like this. At one point, initially, Christian, you probably have been reading about this and hearing about this. There were locals, you know, neighborhood Good Samaritans who were trying to get involved on the scene. You know, it was a disaster scene, obviously, but and certainly not to take anything away from these Good Samaritans' intentions and their, you know, heroic efforts. But you really have to let the professionals do their jobs. And these men and women are trained to know exactly what to do in situations like this. And Miami Assistant Fire Chief Pete Gomez says they probably saved not only some victims, but potentially some colleagues by maintaining a command and controlled presence. So, of course, kudos to all those folks you just heard and those you didn't. Let's get to traffic on the sevens now with Joe Nolan. We'll have more on that coming up momentarily. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Julianne. Good morning, everybody. And we start out on 1 and 9 in Elizabeth on the northbound side, right by Grand Street. An accident. Two lanes are out. Apparently, a pedestrian involved with this. It's pretty new. Happened around 4:30 a.m. So, again, as you travel out on the northbound side of 1 and 9, two right lanes are out in Elizabeth. Now, we also have problems in Westchester. 287 eastbound, right by 684. A guy pulling a boat trailer, disabled in the right lane. And on the outbound LIE, bumper to bumper between 108th Street and Grand Central Parkway. Again, construction, three lanes out. Mass transit looks to be pretty good so far. Alternate side again today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Joe has the traffic advisories, and I've got the weather advisories. We do have a heat advisory today. It's going to be very, very warm. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're going to get up to about 97 degrees in the city today. Lots of sunshine, so it's going to feel even hotter. These are basically near record high temperatures, if I'm not mistaken. This evening, it's not going to be too bad. We'll have mostly cloudy skies. We'll have some showers, some thunderstorms coming in there. But when I say not too bad, I mean temperature-wise. We'll get down to the mid-70s. And that rain will help bring in some lower temperatures tomorrow, Thursday. We'll have some rain showers in the morning, thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. Not going to be a very nice day tomorrow. Thursday night, though, scattered thunderstorms during the evening, some showers overnight. That leads into Friday, 75 degrees for a high with, again, occasional rain showers, and Friday night overcast with rain showers at times. So if you've got a pool or you were planning on going to the pool, unfortunately, the next few days are essentially a washout. Saturday looks like it's going to shower again. Sunday, though, looks pretty nice at this point, 80 degrees, partly cloudy. And currently the temperature in New York City is 82 degrees at 5:09. Getting back to some of the details of the Miami collapse, we've got a lot of other things coming in, but we're hearing the at the 1 week mark, that's essentially going to happen tomorrow. We're sadly getting a lot of information about some of the people who were in that apartment building. We only have a handful of people so far who have been pulled from the rubble. This next story is one of those that'll probably definitely give you a little chill. Antonio Lozano and his wife Gladys were married for 58 years. They lived at Champlain Towers. They lived in the South condo, the one that collapsed. They are now two of the 11 confirmed dead. Their son Sergio says that his parents would joke about how neither wanted to live without the other. Antonio was 82. Gladys was 80. Sergio says that he was told that they were found in their bed together, and he says that is the end of their romantic story. Oh, boy. That story is just, yes, boy. Now, let's go on to the story that is quite frankly hard to tell, because it doesn't, it does point blame at the people who own those condos, in some ways. So this is something that is a little bit difficult, but it is factual. Residents were reportedly warned just 2 months ago, back in April, that they were going to have to pony up $15 million in repairs. Now, they were given until July 1st to decide if they wanted to hand over that money up front or in installments. This unhappy news came from the board president, Jean Wodnicki. She sent a letter to the owners and residents back in April telling them that repairs were needed and that they only had about $700,000 or so in their condo reserves, which meant, yeah, that they would have to come up with $15 million to pay for these repairs. And they were trying to get a loan from a bank when the building collapsed. One of the issues, I guess they also had tried for another loan, but they couldn't get that loan. One of the issues was that the main inspection happened way back in 2018, and the condo president tried to tell them back then that the damage had gotten really bad, and it had since gotten significantly worse. So there, of course, are finger-pointing. There is finger-pointing happening right now. And we're not only hearing from contractors and residents who worked and lived in the building, but we're also seeing their documentation. And it really makes you wonder, what was holding them back? Photos from a contractor taken in the basement of the building's garage less than 2 days before the collapse show a slew of problems. I mean, you can look at these photos and as a layperson, you could see that there were major issues. Cracked concrete, corroded rebar, exposed material that should not have seen the light of day, pools of water on the floor. The Miami Herald reporting these photos were taken by a contractor who didn't want to be identified. He had given these photos to the Miami Herald. He visited the place last week to prepare a bid for cosmetic work on the pool. So not even work that would actually go in and fix this place, just cosmetically. The guy says that he has gone into some scary places. This is the contractor saying this during his career, but was blown away, he says, by the condition of this particular building's basement. Of course, it's easy to say you saw how bad things were. It's another to take action. The fact is, more images are emerging, more stories are being told, and it seems to me we're likely to see a lot of fingers being pointed in the coming days, including at those who lived in the building. Meantime, the White House announced Tuesday that the President and First Lady will head down to the site on Thursday. The administration reached out to FEMA quickly. They made sure that the agency deployed a team of scientists, engineers, and other experts to help local officials. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is also helping out with removing debris there. Two FEMA-backed search and rescue teams are on site to help with the complicated job of sifting through the rubble. And obviously, it's very complicated because they only have been able to find a handful of bodies at this point, and there are still more than 150 missing. The governor of Florida, meantime, Ron DeSantis, has also stepped up. He is thanking the Biden administration and FEMA for getting involved quickly and providing much needed assistance. And, you know, guys, there are so many stories emerging from this tragedy. The family of a missing woman and her husband showing up on site, screaming her name in what was probably a futile effort, but one they desperately needed to be a part of. You've got the husband, as I told you yesterday, who is tormented by a final phone call from his wife, who was cut off as she screamed frantically that the building was crumbling around her. But there are also stories of miracles, quite frankly. Eric DeMora lived at Champlain Towers in the South Building. He had cooked dinner for his girlfriend and some of their friends at home that evening and brought it over to her house, which wasn't at Champlain Towers. The group enjoyed what he called a traditional Brazilian dish. Then they ended up having drinks and playing a pickup soccer game. The 40-year-old says he had to chase down a ball that went into a canal and he got soaked. So rather than leaving to go back home to Champlain Towers, he just decided to stay and hang out there for the night. He woke up, he says, a few hours later to the sounds of his phone dinging, and that's when he found out from a building supervisor that his home was a disaster site, and he says it is a miracle that he is alive. All right, we're going to get to some more news headlines and hopefully some happier news, but in the meantime, Sid Rosenberg is here with the sports report. Hello, Sidney.
Good morning, Juliet. Good night for the baseball locals. We'll start with the Yankees. Our GM Brian Cashman said before last night's game against the Angels, and I quote, "We suck right now, as bad as you can be." That turned out to be some inspirational words for the Yankees, who got a rare easy win last night. Three home runs, beat up the Angels 11-5. Here was one of those three Yankee bombs.
High drive, center field and deep. Ward back, track, wall, see ya! Into Monument Park. A two-run home run for Judge. And the Yankees lead 5-2.
It's my friend Michael Kay, Yes Network on the call. Judge, Gary Sanchez, red hot, another home run. Andujar as well. Yanks win 11-5. Ohtani, two more home runs for the Angels. He leads the majors with 28. The Yankees remain 7.5 behind Boston. The Mets, a dramatic comeback win last night in Atlanta. They were down 3-0 in the 7th, 2-on, when James McCann came to the plate for the Mets.
1-2 coming to McCann, and he lofts one to deep left center field. Back in the gap goes Heredia at the wall. It's out of here! James McCann ties the game with a three-run homer.
How about that? Gary Cohen on the call. SNY Lindor, the game-winning RBI. The Mets get 4 in the 7th, beat the Braves 4-3. They remain 3 ahead of Washington atop the NL East. Congratulations to Adam Fox of the Rangers. He wins the Norris Trophy as the NHL's best defenseman. Does it in only his second season. Becomes the third Ranger ever to win that award. Brian Leetch and Harry Howell are the other two. Game 2 tonight from Tampa Bay, where the Lightning lead the Canadiens 1-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals. Last night, Eastern Conference Finals, NBA, the Hawks without Trae Young beat up on the Bucks 110-88. That series is now 2-2. Out west tonight, Game 6, the Suns at the Clippers. Clippers trying to force a Game 7. That series right now is 3-2. The edge goes to Phoenix. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
Not taking the picture, Sid.
What picture?
Forget it.
I don't even
the
know.
Photo, the photos that we were supposed to take.
Oh, I didn't do it yesterday. Did you?
Well, no, I wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, no, I didn't do it. Did she even come in yesterday?
I don't know.
I believe it was during the day.
Oh, because somebody said to me in the way out, they go, where are you going? And I said, what does it look like? Home.
I get in at 5 o'clock in the morning,
right.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Enough of that stuff.
Enough of this nonsense.
What are we in? Day camp pictures?
All right, we'll check back with you in a little bit. Let's head to traffic on the 7s with Joe Nolan. How are we looking right now?
1 and 9 northbound. The ramp to Grant Street. This is going to be in Elizabeth again. You continue to have that accident. Still in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. Verrazano Bridge getting over to Brooklyn. Again, you continue to have road work there. That'll be on both the upper and lower levels this morning. You have 287 on the eastbound side up in Westchester. That guy with the disabled boat trailer off in the right lane. And then on the outbound LIE getting into 108th Street between there and the Grand Central, there's construction. 3 lanes are out of service. An alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations once again today are in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, sir. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we have a heat advisory, so be very careful out there. Make sure you have lots of water if you're going to be outside. Also, today, plenty of sunshine. We're going to get up to 97 degrees. That is a near record high temperature. We'll see what happens at the end of the day. Maybe we actually will hit some record highs. Tonight, it's going to cool up, but we're going to have some showers coming in, probably for some thunderstorms, too. Those storms will continue throughout Thursday, Thursday evening, Friday. We may have some showers continuing. It's just going to be a lousy few days, and that will lead through Saturday, essentially. Showers on Saturday as well, and we'll have some cooler temperatures, which is nice, starting on Friday, mid-70s or low 70s. Currently, the temperature in Huntington, New York, is a balmy 76 degrees. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit more about what's going on around the world, and also in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, I will have some tips for you if you're planning on traveling for 4th of July.
This is the WABC Early News.
WABC Early News time is 5:20. Back here at home, he has been hit with scandal after scandal, but that isn't stopping local labor bosses and CEOs from, I guess you can say, falling all over themselves to support Governor Andrew Cuomo. The New York leader had a campaign fundraiser last night, and despite ongoing investigations over sexual harassment accusations and his handling of the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of folks turned out. It was a minimum $10,000 per head and $15,000 per couple event. It was held at 75 Rockefeller Plaza. That's actually a building that's managed by the RXR Realty Company. That's a firm headed by a guy named Scott Reckler, who is a Cuomo pal. It attracted more than 170 people, so that's a lot of money. You could say that is according to a source familiar with the Cuomo reelection campaign. This Reckler guy served as a Cuomo appointee to the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And there were also, as I said, a host of labor bosses on hand, along with some Democratic leaders. Not on hand, however, are the Democrats who called for Cuomo to resign over those sexual harassment claims. And that included U.S. Senators Charles Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand. Neither was there, of course. As far as those investigations into those scandals go, let me give you a little bit of an update. State Attorney General Letitia James is conducting, as you know, an investigation into the sexual harassment allegations that were made by current and former staffers against Cuomo, as well as an accusation that he misused government resources in drafting his $5.1 million memoir about his handling of the coronavirus pandemic. We also have the State Assembly Judiciary Committee looking into an impeachment probe of Cuomo over the sexual harassment claims on whether he held information pertaining to the death count of nursing home residents related to COVID-19, as well as that book deal. And the U.S. Justice Department is also looking at whether Cuomo and the administration deliberately withheld data concerning the COVID-19 related deaths of the nursing home residents, as well as the book deal and approval of a law that was granting hospitals and nursing homes immunity from malpractice cases for mistreatment of patients during the pandemic. Cuomo, as you know, has denied wrongdoing over and over and over again. WABC News time is 5:22. Let's talk about some other local things happening. Time to check out I'm sure a lot of folks on the Upper West Side are very happy about this. Roughly 9,000 of New York City's homeless are heading back to shelters. The group was evicted from a group of Upper West Side hotels starting on Monday. Mayor Bill de Blasio moved them there during the COVID pandemic. He was trying to keep them from spreading the virus in the shelters, but the situation quickly turned troublesome, and not just for the hotel's homeless guests. I mean, there were fights in between the homeless guests as well at these hotels, but neighbors also reported all sorts of issues, including harassment, assault, indecency, public urination, public defecation. I mean, you name it, it happened. The Lucerne Hotel was one of the first to be cleared out after the state of emergency in New York was expired on Monday. There were about 200 homeless people living there during the pandemic, but that number dwindled down to about 70 at the time of kickout. The Blakely was next, followed by the Kixby Hotel. These men will be taken to commercial shelters around the city. In the meantime, New York City's crime wave continues with no reprieve in sight. From shootings to beatings, it's essentially a free-for-all for everybody. Apparently, Mayor Bill de Blasio does not appear to see a problem in it until it affects tourists. He promised this week to crack down on trouble in Times Square after a tourist was shot. But elsewhere, locals say cops are nowhere in sight, and that is emboldening the bad guys. Defunding the police, clearly not working in this increasingly crime-ridden city. And again, speaking of crime, let's start over in Queens with some updates onto some things that happened. Three people were shot at an abandoned house in Queens on Tuesday night. This is according to cops. It happened inside a building on 77th Street in the Woodhaven section, according to police sources. All three of these victims were being treated at Jamaica Hospital. The conditions not clear at this point. Police have not arrested a gunman in connection to the incident. And cops are also trying to find a thug who attacked. This guy is just unbelievable. There's video of this, by the way. This guy attacked an elderly man in a road rage incident. It happened actually back in April, but it was caught on camera, and the video is now being posted on the New York Post. I also posted it on my Twitter at JetsetJuliet. But you can see the suspect getting out of his car. He's arguing with the 72-year-old who's inside his car, actually standing next to his car, I should say, as both drivers are sitting there getting into it in Morris Heights on April 24th. The younger guy, the tough guy, can be seen cold-cocking the victim, then nonchalantly getting back into his car and driving off. This is a guy that was cold-cocked in the head, according to the video. The injured driver was treated at St. Barnabas Hospital. Following this incident, the incident remains under investigation. And again, I posted it on Twitter, so if you can recognize this thug, please call police. And at 5:25, it is not just partying. Twerkers enjoying wild nights at Washington Square Park, just so you know. The New York Post reporting a group of homophobes were part of the past weekend's melee, where pride celebrators clashed with the group of haters. The four were hit with disorderly conduct summonses after yelling abusive anti-gay slurs at the revelers. They also apparently put up some sort of sign that was homophobic in nature. They hooked it onto a metal pole at the park and refused to take it down, and also refused to leave when they were asked by police, according to the sources. Enraged pride partiers challenged the group, and police had to intervene. On that same night, just north of the park at East 8th Street and 5th Avenue, four suspects got into a confrontation with police, and they were arrested as well. And another anti-gay attack, this time on a Manhattan subway train. It happened on a northbound 2 train near West 34th Street and 7th Avenue. This happened around 3:30 a.m. on Monday morning. Witnesses say a man began shouting homophobic statements at passengers while he was sitting on the train. He then allegedly looked at one guy directly and began yelling homophobic slurs at the guy because the guy was sitting with his legs crossed. An argument then ensued. It spilled out onto the platform where the suspect stabbed the victim with some sort of object, some sort of unknown object, before running off. The victim got back on the train, and he, I guess, hadn't realized that he had been stabbed on the left side of his chest and also on his torso. So he ended up going to Mount Sinai West for treatment of his non-life-threatening injuries. The suspect, by the way, was shown in a surveillance image. He has a dark complexion, about 5'11", 185 pounds, and he was last seen wearing a red Chicago Bulls basketball hat, a gold chain around his neck, a black shirt, green cargo shorts, and multicolored sneakers. So if this guy sounds familiar to you, please call police. And it is now 5:27, time for traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Juliet. Good morning again. And if you're on 109 northbound at Grant Street in Elizabeth, tractor-trailer accident. This has the two right lanes out. Unfortunately, a pedestrian involved, too, so this might be here for a while. It happened around 4:30 this morning. Eastbound 280 coming into exit 12. Debris, that's in the center lane, so get over the left and right as you get up the hill there. Also, delays on eastbound 78, just east of 684, disabled boat trailer. Again, right lane out of service. Now, outbound on the LIE, we're slow 108 to the Grand Central construction. Three lanes closed. Mass transit is good. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. The supportive service of the U.S. Virgin Islands. The U.S. Virgin Islands are calling. No passport for U.S. citizens, no converting currency, and no destination more inviting than St. Croix, St. John, and St. Thomas. America's Paradise is calling out to you. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the Sevens. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, I've been telling you about demand for travel and it's skyrocketing, but now we have the numbers to prove it. And I'm going to tell you where people are most wanting to go. So if you're somebody who doesn't want to be around a lot of people, these are probably places you want to avoid. But first, let's head over to Deb at the news desk for the headlines.
107.1 WLIR-FM Hampton Bays and 77 WABC New York. Around the world to around the block. This is a WABC 77 second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, the House is nearing creation of a special committee with subpoena power to investigate the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi expects a vote later this week. Well, those eviction moratoriums remain following a 5-4 decision Tuesday by the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, test ballots were included in Tuesday's in-person tallies for the New York City mayoral primary, a total of 130,000 of them. So a new count is now underway. A person, possibly a child, fell down a chimney at PS 255 in Brooklyn. This happened just before 4 this morning. The FDNY is on scene attempting a rescue. Well, there's a big change for New York City's 325,000 workers. As of Tuesday, July 6, vaccinated workers do not have to mask up.
You'll be able to work without a mask, and you will not have to practice the same distancing we needed to during the height of the crisis.
Mayor de Blasio, and that's your 77-second WABC News Update. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, calling for sunshine today. The high's 93. A heat advisory is in effect for the tri-state. There's a 20% chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm. From the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work, I'm Deborah Valentine. A traffic and transit report is next, where the news never stops, at WABCRadio.com.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Everybody, I'm Juliet Huddy. WABC News time is 5:32. Frankie is still on vacation, much deserved vacation, so he'll be off until Monday, but we'll all be back on Monday. And, you know, I've been bringing you some kind of, I just realized the last half hour was just a real bummer. Lots of negative news. Christian, I could hear, was just sobbing in the background. So to make Christian happy, I am going to talk about some happy stuff. And we are going to have traffic on the sevens momentarily, but before we get to that, you know, Christian, when I went over to Italy, I always like to peek into churches. I'm not really the type that wants to go in and, like, you know, walk around for an hour, but I do like to sort of peek in if you can, just to see if there are any really cool paintings or just, you know, just kind of some of the stunning scenes that you can see when you go into these incredible churches in Italy. And especially in Venice, where it's a bit smaller, you know, there's Venice itself is just a bit smaller. So it's easier to sometimes look in, and a lot of times they'll have the side doors open so you can kind of peek in. You don't have to pay to
just
go
walk in and walk out kind of
yeah,
thing.
Exactly. But this trip, I wasn't able to go into any of these places because I was always wearing tank tops because it was so hot. You know, and you have to have your shoulders covered
right.
When you visit the inside of a church or a cathedral. Unless you're Kim Kardashian, apparently. She not only didn't have her shoulders covered, but she also wore a white lace, skin-tight dress that had cutouts across her midsection and her back, and this was on a private tour of the Vatican, no less. Apparently, according to sources, she paired this kind of peekaboo gown, I guess you could say, with sunglasses for the tour. She was joined by supermodel Kate Moss and Kate Moss's 18-year-old daughter, Lila Grace. She covered herself with a leather jacket when she went into the Sistine Chapel. But, you know, a lot of people on TMZ were like, wait, what is she doing? You know, when we go into a church, we have to buy, if we don't have something to cover our shoulders, we have to buy something like a scarf or something. The Vatican Museum's dress code, by the way, prohibits visitors from wearing sleeveless or low-cut garments and shorts or skirts that hit above the knee. But I guess when you're rich and famous, they make exceptions.
Listen, Kim Kardashian's a statesman now, so
that is true. She is a statesman. She is a lawyer. She has saved people from gotten them out of prison. So I guess maybe that's the exception. I don't know if she met with the Pope. I'm not sure about that.
I have to imagine, because I mean, she's meeting with presidents, she's meeting with popes. It's got to be on the agenda.
Well, I didn't see anything about that. I know Anthony Blinken met with the Pope recently, but I didn't see anything about Kim Kardashian actually meeting with him. You know, maybe just a tour of the, you know, the incredible places inside the Vatican is enough for her. I don't know. But Bill Gates continues to be under fire. According to some people who know him, they're continuing to come out and talk about how he was an office bully. He brushed off diversity initiatives as attempts to, quote, destroy Microsoft. And according to a new report, he was once seen lying on top of a woman at a company event. This is according to a former Microsoft executive who told the news site The Insider that he saw Gates lying on top of this woman at 5 a.m. during a Microsoft retreat at a French Alps ski resort back in 1988. Now, the two apparently were just snuggling, but the alleged cuddle session occurred the year after Gates started dating his wife-to-be, Melinda. And, of course, they are now separated. They're getting divorced, or they're divorced. I can't follow some of these rich people. Elsewhere in the report, former Microsoft board member Maria Clow accused Gates of dismissing diversity efforts during profanity-laden board meetings in the 2010s. Apparently, when these board members were starting to consider suggesting more diverse candidates for future executive roles, Gates would reportedly reply, "Are you trying to effing destroy the company?" But some of his supporters are fighting back. They say Gates is just kind of misunderstood. He's, you know, one of these socially awkward, geeky types, so he doesn't quite handle interactions the same way we would. But, I mean, as far as lying on top of a woman, it doesn't sound like he's too socially awkward. And, Christian, stand by, because we have a royal alert, and it's a big one. Tomorrow is the highly anticipated unveiling of the Diana statue, and we're hearing more details about how the day is going to progress and what is happening behind the scenes with these warring princes. I'm going to tell you what one royal insider says momentarily, but first we have to get to traffic on the sevens with our king of the roads, Joe Nolan.
Actually, I was hoping you were going to continue to run the Royal Update, the music underneath the traffic.
Oh, well, I mean, if you'd like that, I'm sure we could switch something
that
up.
Sounded awesome. Northbound 109 approaching Grand Street, tractor-trailer accident. Again, the two right lanes are going to be out of service getting through there. Eastbound on 280 and exit 12, debris. There you go. In the center lane. Now, 287 eastbound coming into 684. There's a disabled boat trailer. He's in the right lane. You want to get over to the left. I'm sure he's going to call Boat US to get it out of there. And outbound on the LIE between 108 and the Grand Central Parkway construction, three lanes are out. Mass transit's good, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
I would really like you guys to play this type of music when I walk into a room. Would that be okay with everybody?
Christian? We can make that happen. I mean, it's a little much, but I know you're very bougie, so we can make it happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm just very royal. I'm very
same
elite.
Difference.
Yes. What do we need to get to right now? Do we need to get right to, well, we're not going to do business because Frank isn't here. So let's just take a break. And when we come back, we'll do the Jet Set Juliet travel update. It actually is a little bit long this time. So we'll do the break and then Jet Set Juliet up next.
This is the WABC Early News.
Yes, it is. It is 5:39 and Frank is on vacation, so we're going to table his business news. But this is kind of businessy, I guess you could say, in your Jet Set Juliet travel update. By the way, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jet Set Juliet. Let's start with some deals. Totally business. If you missed their last round of super saving deals, Southwest Airlines is giving you another shot. The company is celebrating the 4th of July with what they're calling an Independence Yay sale this summer. Now through Thursday, July 8th at 11:59 p.m., that is Central Time, so that is like midnight or 1 o'clock our time, travelers can score flights as low as $39 one way on late summer and fall travel. These discounted fares are valid for dates starting in August, and they go through dates in September. This applies to not only continental U.S. travel, but also travel between the continental U.S. and Hawaii, also inter-island Hawaii travel, travel to and from San Juan, Puerto Rico, and international travel between August 17th and December 8th. So, you know, perhaps you can get down to Mexico for a nice fall break. Sounds pretty good. Travel is, of course, blacked out on some holidays, including Labor Day and Thanksgiving. And you can find out more of these blackout dates and more information on the dates that you can travel on Southwest's website, or you can give them a call. All right, so we've been telling you about demand for travel skyrocketing, but now we have the numbers to prove it. New data from Google reveals the extent of travelers' desire to get back out there. So remember, when we're talking about Google, they're doing their basis on analytics from searches. So search demand for travel in May was up 270% compared to the year before, which was, of course, at the peak of coronavirus. Meanwhile, search for terms like where to travel have spiked, as have views of travel-related content on YouTube. I mean, I'm sure I'm one of these people because I'm constantly looking on YouTube. Searches for can I travel have jumped more than 800% within the last month alone, because a lot of people are still confused as to whether or not they can travel to certain locations, hence can I travel to blank, blank, blank. Also, inquiries for travel to and hotel booking apps have climbed by more than 100%. Activities are also becoming really popular. Travelers are showing a lot of interest in things like kayaking, biking, and boating. Also, people are really excited about traveling when the pandemic is over, and the same figure expects travel bookings to be flexible in terms of convenient, penalty-free change and cancellations. This is 57% of these people are hoping travel hoping to travel a little bit more as the pandemic starts to wind up. But again, that same number for people who are saying, look, you know, the only way we really want to travel is if you, airlines and hotels and so forth, give us penalty-free change and cancellation situations. Now, according to Google, millennials and Gen Zers are the most eager to travel again. And these are groups that are spending a lot of money. They represent more than half of all Americans, and they represent a whopping $350 billion in spending power just in the U.S. alone. The things that they say that they're most interested in: comfort, convenience, and good reviews. So they want to go to places that are luxurious, that are easy to get to, and that have good reputations. And so that is the situation as far as traveling goes when people are interested in and what they're interested in. Also, more good news for the travel industry and hospitality industries. United Airlines this morning sent out a message to the aviation industry. Basically, the message is, at least to them, the pandemic is no more. The carrier announced that it was placing the largest plane order in the company's history and the largest order by any airline in the last 10 years. Obviously, this is a signal that it believes that air travel will be resurging. And it certainly is. I mean, from just 5% capacity at one point last year in compared to 2019, to 79% this past week. So we're looking at a really, really good sign. That's fantastic. And operating under the tagline of United Next, United is planning on purchasing 270 planes. They'll also retrofit 100% of their remaining fleet. They're going to transform the customer experience, they say, and they also are going to create a new signature interior. So that's great. The other thing is that they're going to create 25,000 well-paying unionized jobs, which is fantastic news. And they also say that they will significantly lower carbon emissions per seat, and they'll contribute an estimated $50 billion annually towards the U.S. economy by the year 2026. So that is fantastic news. In the meantime, I have some updates for you. We'll bring them to you tomorrow on the cruising industry, and also tips for you if you're planning on traveling for the 4th of July holiday. But in the meantime, it is now nearly 5:45. It is time for our king of sports, Sid Rosenberg to tell us what's happening in the world of sporting. Hello, Sid.
Good morning, Juliet. Big win for the Mets last night. Down 3-0 to the Braves most of the night. The Mets exploded for 4 runs in the 7th and escaped Atlanta with a victory. With 2 on, down by 3, James McCann hit a game-tying 3-run home run for the Mets, his 7th of the year. That tied the game, and then the Mets put another runner in scoring position when their multi-million dollar player, Francisco Lindor, came up big.
And Lindor cracks one, base hit in the left center field, and that'll bring home the lead run. Peraza in to score, Francisco Lindor with a big 2-out hit, and the Mets lead it 4-3 in the 7th.
Gary Cohen on the call. SNY, Mets hold on, beat the Braves 4-3. They're now 41-34. They remain 3 up on the Nats. They're in Atlanta once again tonight. The Yankees had 3 home runs last night. The red-hot Gary Sanchez, number 14, number 18 for Judge, and Andujar homered as well. Beat the Angels 11-5 despite 2 home runs from Ohtani, who now has a major league lead 28 for the Angels. Brian Cashman, the Yankee GM, telling his team before the game, "We suck. Let's get this right." And they won the game. They're still 7.5 behind the Red Sox. They'll host the Angels in a red-hot Bronx later on tonight. Congratulations to Rangers defenseman Adam Fox. He wins a Norris Trophy as the NHL's best defenseman, third Ranger ever to win that, Harry Howell and Brian Leetch, the other two. Here was Fox after getting the hardware yesterday.
Obviously I get recognition, but, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, help along the way, and they deserve credit just as much. So, it was a lot of emotions and you know, just so excited when I got told.
Tonight, Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals from Tampa Bay. The Lightning lead the Canadiens 1-0. Eastern Conference Finals, NBA last night. It was the Hawks without Trae Young blowing out the Bucks 110-88. That series is now 2-2. Game 6 tonight from Los Angeles, the Clippers and Suns. The Suns lead that series 3-2. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by my dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Once again, with sports at 15:45, I'm Sid.
Hey, Sid, do you watch The Real Housewives of Orange County?
I do. I don't like it as much as Beverly Hills.
But you're familiar with the characters, right?
Of them. Absolutely, yeah.
So Vicky Gunvalson,
yeah.
You know her boyfriend, the former cop, his name's Steve Lodge.
Yeah.
He is apparently running for governor of California.
Up against Caitlyn Jenner. That's going to be quite a race.
Yeah. Reality show wars.
Yeah, I know. She was fired 2 years ago with Tamra. And I guess her big deal years ago, Juliet, was she had a boyfriend. I think his name was Blake or something like that. He was on for a long time.
Yeah.
And he faked cancer.
Right, right. And she was totally supporting this guy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, but she still came back after the whole cancer faking thing.
Yes, she did. And she is one of the homeliest housewives ever.
Well, you're not the only one who thinks that. Remember the other guy, the other housewife? I forget. I don't know. The one who talked weird. She was a little blonde. Anyway, her boyfriend, her creepy boyfriend, was saying horrible things about Vicky.
Oh
these
you?
Real Housewives.
Oh, that's not nice. I know last night, Luann and her daughter on Real Housewives of New York had a heart-to-heart about Luann's drinking issues in the past. So.
Oh, well, that is going to be very interesting. We had that on DVR. I can't wait to watch.
And I did tell you, you know that my friend, the great New York football giant Tiki Barber, his wife Tracy, is going to be on the next season for Real Housewives of New Jersey. You know that, right?
Yes, I heard. I heard that.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. I'm just waiting for my invitation to be on the Real Housewives of something.
Well, you should go to Dolores' house today. They're actually taping
a cast party.
I'm not
going to go to people's houses and just show up.
Why not?
That's completely weird.
I do it all the time.
I know, but you're different. You're allowed to be weird. I can't be weird. All right, we got to get over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joe Nolan. You're not a Real Housewives fan, I take it.
No. But that's pretty funny. Sid just shows up.
Yeah, it's okay, though. He's Sid.
Yeah, that's true. He's Sid. All right, here we go. 109 northbound Grant Street. Tractor-trailer accident. 2 right lanes are out. Then eastbound on 280 coming into exit 12. Debris, that's in the center lane. Get over to the left or right. If you're on 287 eastbound east to 684, a disabled boat trailer, that's still there in the right lane. If you're traveling outbound now in the Grand Central, a new accident. This one at the Clearview. 2 lanes out of service. And then outbound on the Long Island Expressway, bumper to bumper, 108 Street through the Grand Central Parkway with construction. 3 lanes out of service there. And then southbound on the drive at 116th Street, a disabled in the right lane. Mass Transit's good. Alternate side is in effect. This report of service of Indeed.com. Shift, I can never read this for some reason. Shift hiring gears with Indeed. They go beyond the reason with 135 skill tests that help candidates show their abilities on things like computer proficiencies or customer service. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring time by 27% on average. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
You know, Joe, in all the years that I've been on air, either television or radio, as far as I know, I've never accidentally cursed. Mm-hmm. But that would be the end of me saying that line. Shift. What is it? Shift.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard. It just the words don't seem to match. You know.
Oh.
It's shift hiring gears.
You know you're gonna say something you shouldn't say.
Yeah, I know that.
I know. Well,
you know what? I'll just rewrite the whole thing.
You might want to. I don't want you to get in trouble.
No.
I would get myself in trouble. Quickly.
I know the sales guy. I'm all right.
Okay, perfect. Okay. All right. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we've got a heat advisory. It's going to be really hot today, 97 degrees, mostly sunny skies. So if you're out there, please be careful. Have lots of water on hand. Try to keep yourself in cooler temperatures. Go inside to the air conditioning. These are days that are just these days just destroy me. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms followed by occasional showers overnight. Those will continue through Thursday. We're going to get down to 81 degrees, so it's not going to be as hot, but we'll have thunderstorms throughout the day and through the night. By Friday, we should have cooler temperatures, right around 75 degrees, but it will still be cloudy and we'll have occasional rain showers continuing through Friday night and continuing on to Saturday. Finally, it clears up. It looks like Saturday evening and Sunday. It's going to be a nice day. It looks like we'll have 80 degrees with partly cloudy skies. But the next few days are just going to be really lousy. 81 degrees currently right now in New York City. So let's get back to this royal alert that I teased. Tomorrow is the highly anticipated unveiling of this Diana statue, the statue of Princess Diana. And we're hearing more details about how the day is going to play out. And also what might be happening behind the scenes with Prince William and Prince Harry. One royal insider says Harry is ready to admit that he has made mistakes. He is ready to blame these mistakes on his kind of temper getting the best of him in an effort to repair the damage with his older brother, Prince William. But according to this same insider, William is not too keen on making any concessions or apologies of his own. Compounding the problem, the insider claims that Meghan, Harry's wife, is not supportive of Harry healing any rifts with William, and she will apparently flip out if Harry tries, especially if William, the future king, remains adamant that he doesn't have anything to apologize for. So that's that. Meantime, tomorrow's statue unveiling will be at the Sunken Garden at Kensington Palace. That is, of course, if you're a royal fan like I am, you know that that's where Diana lived. It is where the boys were brought up, and it is now home to William and his wife, Kate, and their three kids, George, Charlotte, and Louis. It's going to be a small event, pretty intimate. Only the brothers, Diana's close family members, and the sculptor, Ian Rank, broadly attending. I've been curious about the statue itself, but so far we really haven't had too many details. There is one little blip that's been released. I don't know if this is accurate, but it suggests that the statue is going to show Diana's youthful and playful character. So there's that. All right. I'm not really into the whole psychic thing, but this story kind of intrigued me. A psychic who predicted someone in the royal family would die in 2021 and who also predicted the outbreak of a new disease in 2020 is making more bold predictions. Now, as you know, Prince Philip died in 2021, although, I mean, let's be honest, it's not really a stretch. He was 99 years old. The queen herself is in her mid-90s, so, okay, maybe that wasn't so big. And predicting an outbreak of a new disease, I mean, new diseases happen all the time, don't they? So, be that as it may, Deborah Davies is her name. She actually is a psychic, but she stars on Real Housewives of Cheshire, and she reportedly also correctly predicted advancements in the treatment of Parkinson's disease and Russia's foray into making clones. Among her other predictions that are coming up now, she says that Prince Harry will make up with William and Kate and come back to the United Kingdom, but Meghan will keep her distance. Again, not going out on much of a limb. She also says she sees the COVID virus petering out to become a mild illness. However, she sees a new outbreak of a much more powerful virus, which may well be a mutation. Again, Is this really psychic? She also says medical advancements will see new treatment for breast cancer, and that will lead to much lower death rates. And she's even getting into the UFO realm. She thinks more information on alien life will be shared with the public in the next 2 years. Yeah, we know. Anyway, speaking of UFOs, a new study is out there, and it suggests that there could be more Earth-sized planets. The planets, though, could be hidden by the glare of the stars they orbit, and that's why we're not seeing them. Stars with planets were typically farther apart than systems without a planet. The second star's light makes it difficult to detect changes in the host's star light. So make that of it what you will. And I love this next story. You probably have seen this occasionally, you know, and on websites and things like that. But after decades of international controversy, media mockery, and stolen street signs, a little town with a very offensive name was finally rechristened. The town's new name is Fugging, F-U-G-G-I-N-G. It is located in Austria. And it was, of course, officially, it was effing, essentially. So they have officially changed it from effing, and I don't mean like E-F-F-I-N-G, you know what I mean. They have changed that to Fugging. But interestingly, nobody really knew about it. They didn't really push this. They didn't really get it out. This village of 100 residents actually voted to alter the problematic name back in 2020. But again, they quietly made the change on January 1st. Local leaders didn't want to publicize it because they didn't want people coming to their town to continue making a mockery of it anymore. Well, the plan worked for a while, but then some guy named Nicholas Hale pops in. He has a company that highlights strange towns, and so he goes around to all these towns and he takes pictures and video and everything. And he brought this name change to light this summer. He also hyped his tour of towns with other outrageous names, including a town in Romania that begins with a C and ends with a T. There is a Butthole Lane in Leicestershire. There is a Titty Ho in Northamptonshire. There is a Turkey C-O-C, you know what, Lane in Essex, Wank Mountain in Germany, and yes, finally, Fugging in Austria. And by the way, these town signs, when it was its previous name, were constantly being stolen by tourists who obviously wanted to keep them as souvenirs. And by the way, yes, it was a profane name, but it actually referred to the quote-unquote place of Falco's people, named after the Bavarian nobleman who allegedly founded the town in the 6th century. So there you have it, Joe Nolan, with traffic on the 7s, just in case you wanted to know.
I just live a plain old mountainside. Not a lot to it.
Well, let's just see about that.
109 northbound Grand Street, tractor-trailer accident. Two right lanes are out of service. You want to get over to the left. If you're eastbound on 280 at exit 12, debris, again, the center lane is going to be out. Now, if you're on 287, that boat trailer is still there off on the side of the roadway by 684. That shouldn't be too much longer. Outbound Grand Central, there is an accident out by the Clearview. Two lanes are out, and again, that's on the outbound side. On the drive, southbound now, 116th Street, a stall. That's in the right lane. You want to get on over to the left there, and alternate side is in effect. And this report, a service of Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. That's amazing because Discover is accepted in 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. We'll talk to you at 7 after. In the meantime, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we have some more headlines, including this Olympian, Gwen Berry, the hammer thrower. She is not just doubling down, she's tripling down again. But now we're hearing from her, and she's talking about the criticism of what many call her disrespectful Star-Spangled Banner move, where she turned her back as they were playing the Star-Spangled Banner. She spoke with a CNN affiliate, and we're going to tell you what she has to say about that. Also, charges for the infamous cult mom, Lori Vallow, are piling up. She's facing new charges. We'll tell you what that's all about. And parents in Tacoma, Washington, are freaking out because of something that was handed out to their kids. I'll tell you about that. Meantime, Tucker Carlson is not happy with the NSA, but the NSA says Tucker has nothing to be upset about. And I've got some interesting news developing from the Fox News arena, a major, major milestone when it comes to fines being handed out to Fox News. We'll talk about that and so much more coming up at the top of the hour after the headlines. And we'll get into, of course, traffic and sports and so much more, maybe even some fun stories coming up. I'm Juliette Huddy. Again, Frank is off. He'll be back on Monday. Stay tuned for the headlines.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliette Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I almost forgot what day it was. We're going to get into a lot of interesting stories today, and Christian is at the controls. As you heard, Deb gave you a tease of some of those stories, and Sid will be up with sports in just a few minutes. Traffic also on the sevens. But I wanted to elaborate a little bit on that story that Deb was telling you about, the Democratic primary race devolving into utter chaos after the city's Board of Elections admitted it screwed up the count. And by the way, Frank would be just going crazy for this story because he is so into this this voting, this new style of voting. So I'm sure he'd have a lot to say, but he is going to be back on Monday. He's on vacation right now. Anyway, the Board of Elections apparently added 135,000 pre-election test ballots into the mix. These ballots should have been cleared from the computer before they announced the results. The board has apologized. It's obviously left the race in confusion. On Tuesday, they released numbers that suggested that Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams' lead in this Democratic primary had narrowed in the first set of tabulated ranked choice voting results. Catherine Garcia, the former sanitation commissioner, in this preliminary count, pretty much closed the gap, giving Adams just a 2-point lead. But Adams said something doesn't seem right here, and others agreed. The new figures came online. The board backtracked and acknowledged a discrepancy in its counting process, and it subsequently removed the data from the website. Late Tuesday night, the Board of Elections put out another statement. They say that it had, again, mistakenly included 135,000 test vote records in the initial tally, and they say that the count will be rerun once the slate is cleared. So there you have it. Also, moving down to this tragedy in Miami Beach, specifically Surfside, we continue this morning with disturbing audio from Florida. This is moments after a 13-story building, as you know, collapsed in the Surfside neighborhood of Miami Beach. What you're about to hear is just a small clip of the first responders reacting in shock to what they're seeing.
The building is gone. There are no elevators. This is nothing. I mean, it almost resembles the Trade Center. Some people are evacuating, say they sound like they heard a bomb.
Yeah, it almost resembles a Trade Center is what he said. And the male voice you heard is from Engine 76, a firefighter there. He was one of the first on the scene. He's talking to a dispatcher as search and rescue operations continue to this day. Tomorrow will be 1 week since the collapse. And we do have another soundbite. This is from another firefighter. Christian, track two.
All right, we got active people trapped on the rubble on the northeast side of the building. I'm with 76. I'm going to need additional units.
My team, we're bringing in one more patient, one more red. It's going to be
Let's put air rescue on standby.
We're going to need some backboards. We have two reds over here. We need two case.
I need two units of backboards to come to the south side.
Ugh, it's very difficult to hear audio-wise. Obviously, though, you're listening to these different clips that have been patched together by a local TV station just to try to give you an idea of what it was like in the early throes of this tragedy. All right, back here at home, a pair of thieves on a motorcycle grabbed a guy's gold chain around his neck as he was buying ice cream for his daughter in the Bronx, dragging him along the sidewalk in full view of his kid. The 35-year-old dad was standing on East Burnside Avenue near Walton in University Heights, just right in the middle of the day, 3:30 in the afternoon, when the duo drove up to him, snatched the chain, and pulled him along the street until they ripped it off, and they sped off with the loot heading east on Burnside Avenue. Cops are still looking for them. Time now is 6:07, and it is time for traffic on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
All right, Juliet, again on 280, we had some debris in the roadway at exit 12. They've got that out of the way on the eastbound side, but this tractor-trailer accident northbound 109 at Grant Street in Elizabeth. Again, two right lanes are going to be out of service as you come on up to that. Grand Central outbound at the Clearview, an accident, two lanes out again. Also on the drive as you travel southbound 116th Street, that continues with a collision. Now, Mass Transit, pretty much on or close to schedule, an alternate side again today, is in effect. The support of service of Audible, make it a summer to remember with Audible. It delivers everything you love listening to all in one app. Stream all the new hot releases, bestsellers, Audible originals, popular podcasts, and more. Start listening free, 30-day trial at audible.com. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we've got a heat advisory. It is going to be so hot today, 97 degrees with lots of sun, so it's going to feel even more roasting. These are near record high temperatures we're about to hit. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, and that will occasionally lead to just showers, but the thunderstorm shower thing will continue through Thursday and Thursday night and also into Friday and Friday night and Saturday. Hopefully by Saturday night, we will have the rain stopping and just have some clouds hanging out. Sunday is actually looking pretty nice, so let's cross our fingers that we can do something on Sunday. But in the meantime, looking pretty lousy for the next few days. 81 degrees right now in New York City. Let's get back to some headlines. This is quite the story. Parents, you want to listen to this one. A middle school in Tacoma, Washington is dealing with quite the drama after a teacher handed out a Planned Parenthood pamphlet to eighth grade students. In the pamphlet, there was information about sex, abortions, including information on what the legal age could be for sexual partners of kids as young as 11 years old. So this flyer was given out to a science class at Stewart Middle School, and it advised students that they could obtain an abortion without parental consent. They could purchase condoms regardless of how old they are. This is according to a report from a local radio station. Students were also told about the laws regarding the age of consent for sex, with one example being that they could have intercourse at the age of 11 with someone who is 2 years older or younger. The assistant director of secondary education for the school system told parents in an email that a teacher had given out the flyers to students. It was a mistake. And this guy says the flyer is not part of the curriculum. It should not have been sent home with students. And he said previously Planned Parenthood taught within our schools. They supplied the flyer that was distributed to the students, but obviously that was supposed to be a no-go at this point. Wow. Charges for the infamous cult mom are piling up. It was just over a month ago that Lori Vallow Daybell and her fifth husband, Chad, were charged with murdering her two children and Chad's first wife. Now, on Tuesday, a Maricopa County, Arizona grand jury handed down another indictment, this time for conspiracy in the murder of Lori's fourth husband, Charles Vallow. Now, if you happen to follow the story, it's been on Dateline and all these 2020 type shows. Charles Vallow was shot by Lori's brother back in 2019. Cops initially ruled Alex Cox, the brother, they ruled that he had acted in self-defense. But the case had since been reopened after Lori's children, JJ and Tylee, went missing. And so now there is an indictment for Charles Vallow's death. And Olympian Gwen Berry insists she should still compete for Team USA, despite the fact that people are calling her to be removed from the team because she turned her back on the national anthem. But she has spoken out, and she is tripling down, really, on her criticism of her performance there. I guess you could say her performance in turning her back to the Star Spangled Banner. She spoke with the CNN affiliate Black News Channel, and the hammer thrower defended her actions. She said, "The anthem doesn't speak for Black Americans." Listen to what she had to say.
In that moment, I feel like it was a setup. Because those were not the directions. That was not the intent. The intent was we would be introduced to the crowd either before or after the singing of the national anthem. Mm-hmm. In which, if we had that option, or if I knew that I was going to be on the podium, I would have chose something else.
So Berry says that the Star Spangled Banner lyrics are disrespectful because at one point they reference beating runaway slaves. Obviously, people were not happy about this. She received a lot of backlash. She received accusations that she hates her country. She says, I never said I hated my country. She has, of course, qualified for the Tokyo Olympics, which start next month. Conservatives and others are calling her to be pulled from the team. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki hinted that President Biden sympathized with her actions. And at this point, she is still heading to Tokyo. So there you have it. On to some media news now. Tucker Carlson on Monday night, you might have heard, said that he was told by a whistleblower that his Fox News show was essentially being monitored by the National Security Agency, that they were monitoring the electronic communication between the show, and that they're planning on leaking the communications in an attempt to take his show off the air. Now, this is his allegation. The NSA has come out and they have said this is completely untrue. They released a statement yesterday saying Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency and the NSA has never had any plans to try to take his program off the air. Carlson then went back on his show a few minutes later. He calls the NSA's statement infuriatingly dishonest and he argues that they did not directly refute what he has alleged. So the tit for tat goes back and forth. Speaking of Fox News, the company has admitted to misconduct that includes sexual harassment, discrimination, and retaliation against victimized employees, and they have agreed to pay a $1 million fine for what New York City's Commission on Human Rights calls a pattern of violating of the NYC human rights law. This agreement was reached last week. It is the largest ever financial penalty assessed in the agency's six-decade history. Now, aside from this $1 million fine, which, let's be honest, is kind of chump change for this multi-billion-dollar corporation, I have to say, Fox News also has to remove mandatory confidential arbitration clauses from the contracts of on-air talent and others. Now, this was a major bone of contention for the women who accused Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly of sexual harassment but were forced into silence, which effectively ended many of their careers at the network, but also required them to keep their mouths shut about their ordeals. In full disclosure, I was one of those accusers. I was forced to leave the network after coming forward with my claims back in 2016. At any rate, the labor lawyer, Nancy Erica Smith, you probably know her name. She represented former Fox News anchor Gretchen Carlson in her sexual harassment and retaliation lawsuit against the late Roger Ailes. Carlson won $20 million in settlement from 21st Century Fox. This Nancy Erica Smith calls the cable channel settlement agreement, especially its admission of guilt, monumental. And now it is time for my buddy and Bill O'Reilly's buddy, Sid Rosenberg.
Yeah.
It's always fun to do these stories.
It is true. I'm both of your buddies, and I love you both. And it's just, I'd rather not talk about it, to be honest.
I know. I agree. Let's move on to sports. What's happening?
Well, it was a good night for the baseball locals, Juliet. They both won. We'll start with the Yankees. Not exactly the Gipper, but here was GM Brian Cashman's speech before the game. We suck. That's it. We suck right now, as bad as you can be. What the Yankees do, went out, hit three home runs, and crushed the Angels 11-5. Gary Sanchez, another home run. He's red hot. He's got 14. Miguel Andujar, a home run. And yes, when the judge comes to the plate, all rise.
High drive, center field and deep. Ward back, trap, wall. See ya. Into Monument Park. A two-run home run for Judge. And the Yankees lead 5-2.
So our good buddy Michael K, Yes Network on the call. Again, they win 11-5. Ohtani, two more home runs in the losing course for the Angels. He leads the majors with 28. Yanks remain 7.5 behind Boston. The Mets were down 3-0 in the seventh against the Braves. Catcher James McCann came to the plate with two on, and this happened.
1-2 coming to McCann, and he lofts one to deep left center field. Back in the gap goes Heredia at the wall. It's out of here! James McCann ties the game with a three-run homer!
Gary Cohen on the call, SNY. In the same inning, Lindor knocked home the game-winning run. The Mets get four in the seventh. They win it 4-3 over the Braves. They remain three ahead of Washington. They're in Atlanta once again tonight. Adam Fox is this year's Norris Trophy Award winner for the NHL's best defenseman. He becomes the third New York Ranger ever to win that award, along with Harry Howell and Brian Leetch. Tonight, Game 2, Stanley Cup Finals from Tampa Bay. Lightning lead the Canadiens 1-0. Eastern Conference Finals last night, NBA without Trae Young. The Hawks still blew out the Bucks 110-88. That series is 2-2. They'll play Game 6 in Los Angeles tonight in the Western Conference Finals, where the Clippers look to force a Game 7 against the Suns. Phoenix leads that series 3-2. Sports at 15 and 45, brought to you by my dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. It's sports at 15 and 45. I'm Sid.
To you momentarily, I also want to get your view on the President Biden, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau deal on the Stanley Cup. They did a little, they shook hands essentially on the Stanley Cup finals. So we'll talk about that in a second. But first, let's get out to Joe Nolan with traffic on the sevens.
All right, Juliet, 109 northbound Grant Street, Elizabeth. That tractor trailer accident is still there. The two right lanes are out. There was a pedestrian involved. Happened around 4:30. So it's probably got some time left on it. Also, as you travel eastbound on 280, we had an earlier problem right around exit 12. There was some debris in the roadway. That has now been cleared. Outbound on the Grand Central to Clearview, that accident's still there. Two lanes are out of service. Good news on the drive. They got that stall out of the way very quickly at 116th Street. That is now gone. Mass Transit's good. Alternate side is in effect, and this report is a service of Dell Technologies. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything at you. Dell Technologies advisors have tech advice you need to navigate whatever you're up against. For advice, call an advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Okay, so Sid, apparently President Biden and Justin Trudeau up in Canada did a little virtual handshake on Twitter a couple nights ago. They wagered over the outcome of the Stanley Cup final, obviously between Tampa Bay Lightning and the Montreal Canadiens. This happened on Monday night. Trudeau is obviously a diehard Montreal fan. He reached out to the White House on Twitter, and he said, two of the best teams in the NHL are facing off right now. How about a friendly wager at POTUS? And Biden responded with a very Biden-esque, you're on, pal. And he threw in the hashtag Go Bolts. So the two are going to be wagering on this. What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, the Lightning won game one, Tampa Bay. They'll play game two tonight. But it's silly. I mean, you think Joe Biden, he can't even name his own Secretary of State. You think he knows two players on the Lightning? You think Joe Biden knows even two players on Tampa Bay?
He's a sports guy.
Who was?
Biden is a sports guy.
He's a big Flyers fan.
So. Oh, God, he's finished. He couldn't tell you who Bobby Clark is at this
Would
point.
You stop that.
He's finished.
God.
He was a sports fan at one point. I think he was actually even a decent athlete like 50
he's still
years
an,
ago.
He's still an athlete. The guy's how old, and he's riding out there biking every day?
Oh, yeah, falling up the stairs.
Let's look. Let's not talk about people who trip upstairs and downstairs. I mean, both of these 70-something-year-old men have not exactly put on great performances at times.
That's true. But I'm not a big fan of either Biden or Trudeau, so I do want the Lightning to win because it is America's team. What do you think Gwen Berry's rooting for?
Oh, she is just she is quite a piece of work, isn't she?
She is quite a piece of work, yes. And of course, I'm on board with everybody else who wants her off the team. Get her out. But we'll see what happens. Like you said, right now she's on her way to Tokyo, so we'll see what happens there.
Now, what are you guys talking about on the show today? Wednesday.
Well, today, I know you know this, Juliet, the whole station, we are paying homage to Gay Pride. Today is the last day of June, so it is the last day of Gay Pride Month, tomorrow being July 1st. So Bernie and I are going to talk to a bunch of very, very influential and affluent gay men, including Bill White, who worked alongside Donald Trump for many, many years. Used to work at the Intrepid here in New York City, a longtime friend of me, Bernie and Imus. So we've got a bunch of great guests stopping by today, including John Catsimatidis, Chad Lopez, who just walked in. And we're going to honor the month, the Gay Pride Month, which again ends today. That's going to be most of the show. I mean, you got the regular political news and sports and all that good stuff, but that's the show today, Juliet.
That's wonderful. I wish I could be there for that. But I do have to ask you, what did you make of this NFL video? Did you happen to see this?
Where they said they're gay?
We're all gay?
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, last week, the first player came out. He's a great-looking guy, Carl Nassib. Great-looking guy. Good player, Las Vegas Raiders. And he's the first open gay player to come out in National Football League, even though I'm aware of many other guys that are gay. But he was the first to come out.
You want to name them for us?
No,
you want to out them?
I don't want to do that. So now the NFL does what they do, which is, you know, one guy comes out and he says he's gay, so now the whole league is gay. They overextend themselves in their effort to show solidarity. It's all very, very nice. Don't get me wrong. And again, Carl is a great-looking guy. But the NFL just seems to go above and beyond in lots of these cases, and I think they did the same thing here.
Okay. Well, on that note, is there anything else that you're going to be talking about?
No,
I mean, this is it's gay day. It's gay day on Bernie and Sid.
Oh, that's so perfect. It's gay day on Bernie and Sid.
It's gay
that's
day.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So well, that's gonna be great. I'm gonna listen to you.
Well, thank you, Juliet. Thank you for having me on this morning. You're great as always.
Well, it's really not my decision, but I would have you on even if it was my decision because I love you.
I love you too. Thank you. Thanks, Juliet. Thank
All right. Thanks very much, Sid. We're gonna get a check on traffic momentarily, but I want to get you some kind of cool, interesting stories. There's one about this Picasso painting that was stolen from Greece's National Gallery back in 2012. It was found hidden in a ravine. Apparently, an art lover thief who lived in England has been arrested. He says that he flushed other artwork down the loo. I mean, why would you ever do this? This particular piece by Pablo Picasso is called Head of a Woman. And it was gifted by Picasso to Greece in 1949. Again, it was stolen in 2012. It was recovered in a ravine in Karatia, which is 28 miles southeast of Athens. Stammer Windmill by the Dutch painter Piet Mondrian was also recovered. Until now, this thief had evaded authorities, but he is 49 years old, and he has been arrested. He said that he is an art lover who moved the painting to the ravine when he caught wind of the police investigation getting closer to finding the Picasso. Now, I don't understand what this other part is about. He flushed other artwork down the loo. That makes no sense to me, but anyway. And speaking of Europe, one of these spectators at the Tour de France, you probably have heard about this, held out a sign and caused a massive crash involving dozens of cyclists. Well, this woman is missing, and race authorities are trying to find her because they want to sue her. The Tour de France deputy director told a news agency that they plan to sue this woman so that the tiny minority of people who do this don't spoil the show for everyone. The woman is believed to be German. She apparently got on a flight and, according to CBS Sports, is untraceable. No one is untraceable. What are you talking about, CBS Sports? That makes no sense. But the video shows the woman holding this long banner on the sidelines of the race. She sticks the banner out like an idiot, way too far, causing a German cyclist to fly right into it. He falls. He sets off a domino effect, and all these cyclists behind him start to fall. And apparently the sign was a hello message for her grandparents.
I'm actually surprised that doesn't happen more during these events.
How stupid. What is wrong with people? Don't even get me started. Now, I asked you yesterday if you were a fan of Fasier, and it kind of was before your time.
Yes, yeah.
But no, it is really a great show. And it's funny because I brought this up, and then all of a sudden we have news that this Frasier reboot is going to have some of the main co-stars returning. Apparently, Kelsey Grammer spoke with Collider, and he says, we think we're going to get most of the actors back. He says, I'm hopeful that we will. I'm fairly confident that they're going to come back. So that's really nice. I'm happy to hear about that. And also, Christian, I mean, you could possibly do this if you have a nice voice, because it looks like they're looking for people of sort of any nationality or any ethnic group. We've got our Miss Hannigan. We now know who will play Daddy Warbucks in the upcoming NBC Annie Live special, but they're still looking for that special Annie. They're trying to cast her. Singer-actor Harry Connick Jr. is going to play the role of the filthy rich guy with the heart of gold, Daddy Warbucks. Taraji P. Henson, meantime, is perfectly cast as the evil Miss Hannigan. And I posted a link to the casting page for Annie because they are on an international lookout for this little Annie. And also, finally, ladies, listen up. If you just can't seem to stick with one man and one man alone, it might be time to try to think about maybe moving to South Africa. The government there, in an attempt to be more inclusive, is considering giving women permission to marry multiple partners. Currently, men are allowed to have more than one wife there. Government officials reached out to several different groups for advice, including human rights activists, who claim equality demands that polyandry be legalized and recognized there. Critics say, oh, no, this cannot happen. But funny enough, most of these critics are men who are married to more than one wife. One guy said they are a spiritual people there in South Africa. They are guided by their creator. And this guy says only men can play the marriage field by getting hitched to enough wives for an entire baseball team. Only men should be allowed to do this. Do you have any comments on that, Christian?
People should be able to do what they want.
Oh, so you support many multiple
wives.
Well,
I mean, if men can do it there, then the women should be able to do it there.
Oh, look at you. Look at you, and diversity and equality. Well, yes. That's very nice. We will have more stories, I'm sure, on diversity, equality, wokeness, royal alerts, and all sorts of wonderful things coming up on tomorrow's show. In the meantime, get ready for Bernie and Sid. I'll be back tomorrow. Once again, Frank will be back on Monday. I'll try to hold down the fort for him. But it's time now for Traffic on the 7th with Joe.